What up? We got the second episode of the Philadelphia Film Friends podcast. I'm working on the title, you guys. Casey Lee Clark is this week's guest. She is one of the biggest film buffs I know. She has seen everything, and this is a really awesome podcast where we talk about our favorite films of 2017, our top 10 lists. We each give our own individual list. We talk about the movies in depth, and it's a great time. Good time reminiscing about our favorite films from last year, also with the hype of the Oscars. We talk about her childhood and some movies that impacted her when she was younger and more recently, and then we talk about the 2017 films. You guys can read Casey Lee Clark's movie reviews on caseyleeclark.wordpress.com. She wanted me to plug that. And if you guys have a top 10 or some favorite movies from 2017, please comment below if you're listening on YouTube and rate and subscribe on iTunes. All right, guys, episode 2 right here. And that's why I love about this year is this year's
not just two movies.
It's not just
other.
Two.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many.
I love the fact that the best picture race, it's like it could, and I'm like a big awards prognosticator.
Me too.
It's like between four movies, I would say.
Because
people
maybe
think
five.
Because people think that it's just Three Billboards and the Shape of Water, but I think Lady Bird or Get Out could pull.
Oh, totally.
Easily pull an upset. Easily.
Yeah, I think.
Because the best picture's a preferential ballot.
And sleep on a Spielberg post.
See, but it only got two nominations.
That's true. And that's probably
it
a sign.
Underperformed.
That's probably a sign.
Yeah.
But still, don't sleep on it. You still had a year where Crash won.
Yeah. And who knows? Who knows?
You literally don't know.
Call Me By Your Name. Or
right.
Dunkirk. Like, you never know.
And, I mean, Dunkirk got so many... Dunkirk almost got as many as Shape of Water did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hold on.
We're going to start recording.
We are starting, actually. This might be in it.
I wanted to go home before.
It's okay. This might be in it.
Also, don't see my wallpaper on my phone. Kind of gives away some of my favorites.
Casey Lee Clark is on. You're a senior.
I am.
At Temple University, and you're a film minor.
I am. Theater major.
Theater major.
Yeah, you didn't know that. We're flipped.
Yeah. I've told you this a few times. You're one of the most well-watched people I've ever met in terms of movies. Like, you've seen nearly everything. There are plenty of people online or famous people that I know have seen more movies than me.
Yeah, same.
But only like one or two people I've met and friends with that I can say like, oh, they have seen as much if not more than me, and you're one of those two people. It's really impressive. Like, every time I run into you at school, where you're caught up. You're on top of everything. You've seen what's recently out, and that's awesome, because I love seeing things right when they come out and being in the conversation. We listen to a lot of the same podcasts.
Yeah, and I'm definitely, like, this year I wanted to be up on it more, and, like, I've seen all the Best Picture nominees, which was something that I was, like, very proud
nice.
Of, because every year I always want to do that, and I think last year I only got, like, half of them.
Right.
And even then, with, like, this year I wanted to make it my goal to see all the Best Picture nominees, directing, writing, and acting. I've seen all but, like, a few. Same, like, adapted
right.
screenplay, I haven't seen all those. I think I'm missing three singular actors films.
Oh.
That I haven't seen, but that's...
Yeah.
But it's
priority,
like,
for Best Picture.
Exactly.
And then everything that follows.
I
think I'm in the same boat.
And director, so
I just saw the final film I had to see for all the Best Picture movies last night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, in prep for this.
Oh.
But yeah, we're going to be doing the top 10 movies of 2017. We're going to compare our lists. But before we do that, we're just going to talk about some of your favorite movies in general.
In general.
In general, stuff that got you into film. Like, what was there a movie when you were younger, or maybe even recently, that you were like, oh my God, I want to have a film minor?
Yeah, I was definitely a big fan of movies as a kid, and, like, my mom especially is really into film. Like, I always loved, like, Disney films, of course, and I love musicals and classic films, but I think when I really, like, felt, like, this shift into, like, getting into more current films, and, like, especially, like, what got me into, like, Oscar movies and stuff was Little Miss Sunshine.
Ooh.
And, like, I saw that when I was 10, almost 11, like, when it was out on DVD at the library.
Because,
like, because I think it was just rated R for language, and my mom's like, oh, that's okay.
Right,
like,
and the subject matter, maybe.
Yeah, and, like, but it was not, like, violence and sex and drugs and
right.
stuff. It was just, like...
It
was slightly mature, and she knew that I could handle it. And I remember just being, like, very, like, intrigued with, like, independent film, and, like, it made me fall in love
right.
with, like...
Oh,
like,
did you know it was independent at the time?
Yeah, I remember that. That was the first year that I vividly remember watching the Oscars.
Mm.
And I remember watching the Independent Spirit Awards, weirdly enough. So, like, I think... And then after that, it became, like...
Right. So it was Little Miss Sunshine.
Thing.
I just
yeah.
saw that for the first time last year.
I love that movie.
It
so
is
much.
Great.
I think it has, like, my favorite scene in a movie.
Ooh, what
ever,
scene?
Which is her, like, dance at the pageant.
Oh, that's your favorite.
Yeah. Just, like, because I rewatched it, like, last year, and just watching that scene, I was like, I don't think I'm ever happier than when I'm watching this
really?
Scene. Because it's just like, I think that also like plays into my humor, where it's just like, you've got this little girl like stripping to Super Freak.
Yeah.
That's my humor. That's perfect.
My favorite scene in that movie is the scene when they, okay, so the son just found out he can't be in the army.
Yes, Paul Dano is a...
It's right after that, though.
Oh.
And they get pulled... So their car is just honking.
Oh, God, when they get pulled over?
And they get pulled over.
And
I think that's one of
the
funniest...
in the back
right, and Hank from Breaking Bad...
Yes!
...pulls them over.
And Bryan Cranston's briefly in the movie
right.
as well.
And he pulls them over, and he's like, don't check the back! Where their dead grandfather
where the dead
is.
Grandpa.
And he opens the trunk, and then the magazine just pops out,
and
he's
and
like...
And he's just like...
I gotcha.
That movie is, like, both so funny,
so
but
good.
Also so moving, and I think it's definitely a template for, like... the Sundance independent dark comedies that
so
we've
you're
gotten.
Super into independent movies.
Yeah, that's like a definitely a big passion of mine and stuff. Like if you'll see from my list, there's not many blockbusters on
really
it. Yeah,
okay.
And it's not even just that I don't think
well, there's nothing
good.
Wrong
I think
with that at all.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact of what I watched when I was younger and like kind of influenced. Like I don't really watch action movies because I never really was an action movie kind of person. I was more of like,
sure,
I like musicals and comedies and like,
yeah, theater major.
Yeah, exactly. And but I also like, I really like thrillers a lot. Like, my favorite movie of all time is Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, great favorite.
Yeah.
And that, sorry, who directed it? Oh, my God.
Jonathan Demme,
and he just passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was a lot for me.
We had analyzed that movie in one of my scene analysis classes, and I had seen it before, but just the fact that the opening scene kind of tells you everything about her.
She's so good.
And she doesn't even speak in it.
Yeah.
It's just her, and then she gets in the elevator, only woman.
That's one of my, I think about that shot every time I'm in an elevator, not necessarily the fact that she's the only woman in the elevator, but like the fact that everybody's taller than her and then she just kind of looks up at the ceiling. I think about that
right.
every time I'm
that's
in an elevator.
That's also a shot that like, that's a thing in a story that only a movie could portray.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that out of a book. It's a classic.
But yeah.
It's a it might be one of the more recent classics or
I would
films
say so.
That's referred
yeah, and
to
I feel
as
like
a classic.
It's a film that we all, everybody talks about, but not enough, I think.
Yeah. It,
like,
you
it's
forget
not
how
like
good
you're,
it is.
It's not like a Goodfellas or like...
And it
might be the fact that it's
right.
not from one of those like legendary directors necessarily, where like, you know, like we'll talk about a lot of the like more modern Spielberg and Scorsese films as classics.
Yeah.
Because they're from classic directors.
Is he your favorite director?
No, I don't know if I necessarily have like a favorite director.
Yeah, that's a hard question.
Because there's classic ones and then there's modern ones.
Right.
Modern ones, I'd probably say like, I'm a big Wes Anderson fan in the sense that, like, I've never seen anything of his that I didn't like or love completely.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I'm, like, looking over at my list to see if
there's
anybody
great,
else.
He has some incredible movies.
Yeah.
But there are one or two that I'm not a fan of.
My favorite's Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that's one of the ones I'm not a fan of.
That's the only one that's truly, like, moved me. And that's a big factor. You'll notice, like, most of my top 10, it's, like,
they moved
films
you.
That have, like, emotionally affected me. And like,
well, yeah,
because usually I think like if a film makes me cry, then it's done its job.
Okay.
I think so, because so there's some films that are supposed to be emotional that'll make me slightly tear up, but not cry.
Yeah.
But if a film can like make me like audibly cry, and I cry at almost everything, but like.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't want to like spoil a top 10, so I'll cut this out if like this is in there. But did you see something like Wonder?
I didn't see Wonder.
Because that's a movie for me that I know if I saw, I'd cry.
Yeah.
And
I
don't necessarily know if it'd be that.
The thing is that I've heard that movie was a lot better than people thought it would be.
Oh, okay.
Like, people thought it was going to be this, like,
it's kind of
lifetimey movie. Yeah. And then I think it was even on, like, Christian's top 10. He was like, this movie surprised
right,
me a lot.
Right.
I didn't, like,
Reason
expect
father.
To love it. Yeah.
I
so,
mean,
like.
Sure. And I'm
and
not
apparently
putting it down.
It goes, like, from a bunch of different perspectives, and it's just, like, a nice family movie. And I'm like, sometimes we need that.
Right. No, you definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of movies for kids, besides, like, animated ones, might not be the best, besides like although now like Paddington's become the big thing.
I've heard that those are so good. Yeah,
like,
I haven't seen them.
I need to, they seem like my thing. I just
they're not
to,
my priority to see.
They're right, they're not my priority.
I need to see
I've
the
been
Oscar
to the
stuff.
Movies so much in the last like
me
2 months
too.
That I'm probably not gonna go for another like few months.
Well, right.
That's a weird thing for me is like the first movie I think I saw in theaters for like 2017 that was a 2017 release was in like March.
Really?
Because I was just so burned out.
Yeah,
and it's also there's like never that many great movies.
Right, there's nothing
that come out
a lot
the
in January.
The
there were this past year, I will say.
Yeah.
But I think also I didn't see anything over winter break.
Oh,
I know
really?
You were here. I was working. I barely saw anything.
I
had to catch up this past few weeks.
Yeah, I saw two movies when I was home with my mom. One of them was just right. We went and saw, like, on Christmas Eve, we saw It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen, which is my best. Other favorite movie. It's like that and Silence of the Lambs.
I love that movie so much. You forget that, how good that one is, too.
It's so good.
It's not just a Christmas movie.
It's not just a Christmas movie.
It just happens to take place during then. All right, well, I think we should move on to the top tens, because we might take a while
talking
about these movies. So
did you want to go through...
I'm going to go through the rules. I might have it memorized. We're kind of following a formula off of a show that we like a lot.
Are we
going to
post
10.
This and then tag them in it?
We should tag them in it. They won't watch it.
I feel like Roka might listen. See, the thing is, though, is those people, they live in LA. They drive a lot to places.
Maybe.
Because I've known, like, a lot of them talk about, oh, I listen to podcasts when I drive.
Right.
Which is, like, then you could just, like, turn something on and just, like, listen to it and it'd be nothing. So, who knows?
Who knows?
If you're listening, John Roca and Matt Nost. Hi.
Yeah, they're in LA. They have a show, Top 10, and they have a different topic every week, but they also did one for 2017. I love their show, and we're going to follow their formula. So, basically, how it works is we both come with top 10 lists. We don't talk about it in advance or anything. There's no ties, none of that bullshit. But basically, I do my bottom three, 10, 9, 8. She does her bottom three. I do my next two. You do your next two. And then we trade one apiece until we say our top 10. I just copied exactly what he said. But if one of us says a movie that might be higher up on the other's list, we do something called punting. So say at number 8, I have Transformers: The Last Knight, and you have that at number 2. You'll be like, oh, we're going to punt. So we're going to wait to talk about it till we get to her number 2. And now she's not going to tell me what spot it's in. You're just going to say, oh, I have that later down the road.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to wait. So we don't want to talk about stuff twice.
Yeah.
Now, if it's like, oh, I have it at 8 and you have it at 6 or 7, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just going to kind of go through that. Do you think we should say spoilers?
I think I'm going to say yes. If it's movies that we've both seen.
I think we should talk spoilers.
That way then we can have a good, genuine discussion about it.
Try to refrain, but if it's one that, you've got to talk about.
Yeah, if it's a film that, like, I'm like, how have you not seen this kind of a thing? Like, kind of like how we basically spoiled a bunch of Loma Sunshine and Silence of the Lambs, because we're like,
we'll talk spoilers, but we'll say the movie beforehand, and then we'll get, so we'll be able to fast forward.
We're not just going to be like, the movie that had this.
And then we'll do honorable mentions afterwards, because
that way we don't spoil each other's list. Because I feel like
there's
some on my honorable mentions that might be on your list or vice versa. Or then it kind of...
so many.
First of all, incredible year for movies.
Yes.
And I know people say that every year.
I genuinely...
But there were more good than bad.
Yeah. And I think that while I...
It was lopsided.
I think there were even more consistently better films.
Yeah,
year I would say like last year my top 10, I was just like, I love a few of these and I really like more of them, whereas this one I love a lot of
get into the top 10s.
So real quick though, the movie that I don't know if this will be on your so a movie that it's not on my list at all, the bottom of it. But I didn't like it, but anytime I see it on somebody's top 10 list, I go, I respect that.
Okay.
Mother.
I did see it. It's not on my list.
No.
I just saw that a few weeks ago. You saw it?
I did. I saw it in theaters.
Oh, wow. I rented it.
Yeah, it's...
What did you think of that? Darren Aronofsky.
Jennifer Lawrence. It does not deserve those Razzie nominations. It's not that
Doesn't deserve that.
It's not that bad. I think she's great in it.
She is great in it.
Especially because I think we've gotten so used to her shtick lately of being like...
This was different.
She's vulnerable.
Took a risk. The sound design.
The sound
design's
great. I think the cinematography's beautiful.
Where's the Oscar nom for the sound design?
Yeah. But like...
Didn't work for me.
Didn't work for me. And it's a kind of movie that's very uncomfortable to watch. Like, you don't enjoy
interesting
watching
watch,
it.
Well, interesting watch, though. Because and we're not going to do it right now, but like... So much fun to talk about with people.
Yeah.
I talked with Tyler Bonner about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it for a while.
I think I liked the first half of it more when it was more like grounded in reality. When when it goes crazy near the
end. It goes crazy.
Like,
not even an understatement.
I like when people were talking about how this movie's batshit insane.
It's insane.
I was like, okay, sure.
Oh, my God.
And then you see it and you're like.
Yeah, it's batshit.
But like, it's.
Let's get to our top 10. So
I think you should go first.
You want me to go first?
I think it's your show.
What? I want you to go first.
I don't want to go first.
Oh my God.
How am I put this? I'm thinking about how on the top 10 show, when they do it, when they have a guest, the hosts go first and then the guests
Okay.
Even though I know the format.
I'll go first. I know. Yeah, we know. That's awesome. You know the format. I think my top four have been settled.
My five have been settled for a while.
But the bottom five. I've been swapping in and out.
Me too.
It might be different tomorrow. I'll be honest.
Right? Me too.
I don't know. My number 10, and I can't believe it's 10. I wish it was higher. Any other year, it would be higher, is Blade Runner 2049.
So guess who didn't see
Blade Runner? You didn't see it? Oh my god!
So this is gonna make me sound like a bad film fan.
Have you seen the original?
No.
That's why. Not many people have.
It was the kind of thing where I have also been told, like, it's the kind of film that takes you not years to get into, right. But like,
oh, I think multiple viewings.
Yeah, and I also feel like I didn't want to like watch it quickly and then watch the newer one, even though I like just from what I've seen of the newer one, I'm like, yes, it deserves cinematography.
I do. Absolutely. You do need to see the original, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you can enjoy it. You won't enjoy it nearly enough, though, or as much. Well, 24, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's probably the most well-made movie of the year.
Yeah.
And maybe it's up there in all time. It's just such a well-made film.
It looks beautiful.
Oh, it's technologically surpassing anything else on the list in terms of like what Villeneuve
is French. Doing.
He is one of my favorite directors right now.
He's brilliant. Now, fun fact, I haven't actually fully seen any of his movies.
You haven't seen Sicario?
I know. But he's one of those directors where like I haven't seen anything, but I know he's brilliant.
Arrival? Didn't see Arrival?
Don't talk to me.
Okay, no problem. Well, he's one of my favorite directors. He's 4 for 4. This might be 5, actually. He's crushing it. I love his film Enemy a lot. And this one might be his best because you can't remake a classic. And it's really hard to do a sequel to a classic. He did a sequel to a classic.
Yeah, and a lot of people, we were like, not sure if this movie was going to be good.
Right.
Because it was on the one hand, you're like, okay, this is a great team behind it, but it's still a sequel of a classic movie.
I know.
How many years later?
He went for it. That's the thing. He went all out. He didn't pull any punches. All out. He told his story. It's an original story. There's a lot of differences. I still love it. If I had a criticism, is I think it's too little too late. I think it should have came out a lot sooner. And there's some themes in it that have been investigated in movies like Ex Machina and shows like Mr. Robot, Westworld, that I think it's now just, okay, here's another one investigating that. Still really well done, and I think, and obviously most well made movie.
Experience of seeing that film.
Oh, totally, in theaters, and it should get every production Oscar. I'm talking sound design, maybe even production design, cinematography. Roger Deakins, Oscar.
Get him.
This is amazing stuff from him, and just all the technical stuff is the best of any film this year.
Yeah,
love Blade Runner 2049. Number 9, I just saw it today.
Okay,
I am so happy and like shocked how good this movie was and that I liked it more than Blade Runner. Ingrid Goes West.
I'm so mad that I haven't seen that yet. Oh. I'm so mad because I've heard it's brilliant. And I have a friend that lives Indy. I've heard a friend of mine that lives out in LA. He was telling me about, he's like, you have to watch this movie. And I'm like, I know. And like when it was in theater, I was like, okay, I'll go see it. And then I just never have watched it. And I feel bad because I know I would love it.
Well, I mean, this is kind of a fresh review, and whenever you see something, you put it high up.
Yep.
I have a feeling, though, it's going to stick for me because it's a really, it's the most 2018 or 2017 movie you can make in a good way. Yeah. It follows Aubrey Plaza, plays Ingrid, and she's addicted to Instagram. She's a bit of a stalker, and her mother just died, and it kind of opened with her not being invited to a wedding of one of her friends, which you find out was just someone she followed on Instagram and was stalking. And she freaks out. Anyway, she starts following a new person on Instagram who lives in LA. She takes the money she got from her deceased mom, goes to LA and starts kind of stalking her, and then becomes friends with her. And then you just witness how kind of crazy she is. She obviously has some kind of mental issue throughout the movie, but in this day and age, you can just, how addicted to Instagram and how addicted to getting likes and what social media can kind of do to you. And it's not really pretentious. It was kind of done in a really comedic fun way.
Yeah, and I've heard it's a very dark comedy.
It's a very dark timely. Comedy. Very timely. I don't know if it'll hold up in years to come, but right now, oh my God. And one of the best endings to a movie this year. Maybe my favorite ending of the movie this year. It's incredible.
I'm like looking to think what my
I loved it. Favorite ending. Number 8. And this one, I don't think this is controversial, but I think I think it's not on as many lists and not getting the acclaim it was getting. But that's The Disaster Artist.
It's in my honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
It was close. I think what came down to it was, I think the third act felt rushed.
Yeah.
And it was like just like not necessarily the script in terms of the dialogue, but in terms of the plotting of the film, I felt like it kind of Yeah, like there was parts
meandered.
Yeah, and like I thought, like I loved it so much in the beginning, and then when they were making the movie, and then it just like abruptly ends, and then it's just like
right. That, I mean, that scene where they're clapping at the end is very Hollywood.
Yeah, especially because that apparently
that didn't 100% happen. Like that.
Didn't happen. It happened, it took him over a few like times of seeing the movie.
I think it happened a screener or two later.
Yeah,
but I get it.
I get it, but I wanted.
I didn't really mind. I think. Because it's not like a, oh, they really messed with the story of Argo.
That's
or
also, I feel
like
that's just me nitpicking it because I'm trying to whittle it down to a 10.
I loved it just because you get to, you really, it really gave you a good sense of how much fun it is to make a movie. And as like a film major slash maker, I totally felt some scenes in there and all the frustrations. And I just think Tommy Wiseau is a really unique character. Met him last year
at a
screening for The Room, have a picture and a signed copy of the script. He's such a weird guy.
He's such a weirdo.
Oh, my God. I thought James Franco did a great job. I thought the cast was great.
Yeah, if it hadn't, it's hard to talk about him now.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Prior to the allegations against him, I was like, this performance has to get an Oscar nomination. Yeah. So I was like, that's the best part of the movie.
I think they added Denzel in his place.
Oh, I 100%. Yeah, that was the movie that I was just like, I was like, I don't need to see Roman J. Israel. Right. He's not going to get, and then I was like, morning of the Oscar nominations, I was like, because I was so worried about, this sounds bad, but Hong Chow getting a nomination for Downsizing. Because I was like, I don't want to fucking see Downsizing.
Oh my God, it's not good.
I know. And so then I was like so worried about that. And then when they finally got to Best Act, I was like, damn, I have to watch Roman Chase.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
which is nothing against Denzel. I've heard he's great, but I've heard the movie's not good.
He's always great. But I think The Disaster Artist is the funniest movie of the past year. I think it's one of the most entertaining movies. Mm-hmm. I was never bored. I think there were moments that were slow. But just, it's so funny. It's all about the love of making movies and The Room.
Yeah, I had watched The Room fully for the first time, like 2 days before I saw The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
And so especially that part at the end when they're comparing, I think that's brilliant.
I wonder how much they shot. I got to get the Blu-ray and watch the special features. Yeah. All right, give me your number 10.
Number 10, I don't know if it'll be on... I'd said before that I'm not a blockbuster person. Okay. This is the one exception.
Okay.
And this one, I think, has become a controversial one.
Hmm.
And that would be Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Punt.
Fuck yeah. All right. I already know.
Yes! I love it!
I love it.
Well, you know what? It's
my favorite of the new Star Wars movies. That's all I'm going to...
Oh, I completely agree. So, it's number 7.
Do we feel like talking about it then?
We'll wait.
Or do you want to wait? We'll wait. I know my number 9's a punt for you.
Okay, what?
Get Out.
Oh, punt.
Yeah.
Yes, major.
Yes, all
major
right.
Major punt.
I know. Yeah, right.
Sorry, number 7. I mean, number 8.
Number 8 is a film I saw. I guess it's probably the most recent one besides Get Out that I've seen. And it's had to do with the fact that I think it's one of the most well-made movies of the year, but also I think that it surprised me a lot and had a lot of great scenes, and I think that it said a lot of interesting things.
You're saying it a lot.
And that's Phantom Thread.
Oh, okay. Ooh, punt.
Punt? Oh, wow. Okay.
Punt. I love your list so far.
Okay.
Oh my God, this is as good as
so
I hope
it. So now are we back to talking about
I love how
Star
we had
Wars
a punt
now.
All three of yours.
Yeah, but that's because like I said, my top 5 haven't moved since I've seen them.
Yeah, okay, Star Wars. Let's go.
You can
start.
I cried so much in that movie.
Oh, me too.
How
many times? I cried 3 times.
I can't count anymore. Luke Skywalker is my favorite of the original characters.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, at first all of us are going in and we're like, if I see Luke Skywalker die with my own 2 eyeballs,
so many expectations.
But then when he did, I'm just like, this is beautiful, go.
And it wasn't we're never going to see him again.
Yeah, because I think we're going to do some peaceful. I think we're going to do some Force Ghost things.
Oh, totally. Oh, they have to.
Yeah.
And
I think that everything with, I'm going to say it now, I think he should have gotten a Best Actor nomination.
Yeah, supporting. Supporting.
I feel like he is the lead in
He's not a lead in that. He's not in the last half hour until the
Okay, whatever. But
I totally agree. He should have been considered.
He's brilliant. I think it's his best.
The way they handled Carrie Fisher, it would have been so easy. A lesser filmmaker would have just put her out that air chute, the window, and then she's dead. But guess
they
what?
Didn't.
Like no, they filmed all of her stuff. They kept the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah, because then which is good because then that scene with her and Luke.
That scene where she's in space, I love.
I
people are like,
it a lot,
she's flying.
And like, you're like, oh, you can
Mary
tell it's
Poppins.
CGI. And
it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And plus, like, she got to use the Force.
I think we've already talked about that before, where she's definitely force sensitive, but not.
And maybe they were gonna do something in 9. I hope they recast her, honestly, because the character they clearly were setting something up.
I have a theory
up.
Of what they're gonna do.
Right. Well, we'll just keep talking about the movie. I mean, my favorite scene, hands down, is Yoda.
Really?
Oh my god, hair on my neck was going up in the theater, and when he, and also Force Ghost using lightning, beyond the grave. Like, he lights the thing on fire. He says, yeah, those books, they're not page turners. And there's that shot behind them of them looking at the burning house. And then he's like, the best teacher failure is. Oh, my God. I'm like crying thinking about it. It's such a great scene.
I have two favorite scenes. There's so many favorite scenes in this.
Holden with the lights piece into the ship?
And then the silence. And at first I was just like, I was shocked.
You
and
hear
then
everyone
I was like,
in the theater go,
and then I was also, because I think I saw it Thursday night when it came out.
I saw it the Friday night.
I remember just at first being shocked, and then I went, how did none of them think of to do that before? And then we were like, oh, right, because you're going to die. But like,
it was and it made sense.
It made people complain about some of like the new and new things and changes in that. That makes so much sense.
Oh, totally.
And you're like, why did nobody do this before?
Makes her an awesome character. Stuff on Canto Bite, I'm not a huge fan of.
That's why it's a number 10 for me. Because it doesn't ruin it. And
it's ruining it. I'm like, it doesn't ruin it. It added some complexity into the whole, story.
I don't hate the world of it. I don't like Rose as a character.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's fine. I think the only time in the movie where I was just like,
I liked her as a character. I just didn't like what they had her do.
Yeah, the part near the end with her and Finn was when the only time in the movie when I went.
It was a little forced, yeah. But I mean, the scene where he fights him and then he's a projection. Holy shit!
That's probably my favorite part of the movie. Although
when Rey,
how can it not be the Snoke scene?
Oh my god!
How can your favorite? That's like one of the best things.
Easily the best action sequence. In the Star Wars movie of the year. Oh my god.
I was like, my boyfriend and I were like gripped to each other, like about to scream.
I was with Vito and we were like, dude, we were freaking out, audibly freaking out. That scene is so good. I saw that movie, I think, 5 times.
Oh wow. I only saw it the once, which is surprising.
Oh, you guys.
I know.
Saw 5 times. I served it a bunch, just witnessing people freak out. And it's such a controversial movie, which is the best movies are.
Yeah, but I also like went into it and I think I'm happy that I saw it right when it just came out and I didn't like wait a weekend or even like a couple days because I'm surprised how many people don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It took a lot of risks and I think
maybe it's because I only got into Star Wars in the last couple weeks, like right before Force Awakens came out was when I actually started getting into Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just like building up with the hype of everyone and like being like a Schmoes fan and stuff. It was like
they love it.
Yeah, so it's not like I had as much riding on these as other people.
It's an incredible film. I think it's my third favorite of all time for Star Wars.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it took so many risks, and I think the majority paid off in like an incredible way, and I think it brought new life to the series.
I really think it did, too. I like how it ended in the sense of like, it feels like, where do we go from here?
Right. And you don't know. It can go anywhere. And the kid with a broom at the end? Broom Boy?
Oh, Broom Boy.
Broom Boy. All right. So that was number 7 for me. Number 10 for you, right?
Yeah.
All right. So number 6 for me. We just do 2 now. 2 apiece? Yeah. 2 apiece. Is I, Tonya.
We're gonna punt that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's not a big punt, but it's a punt.
Okay. So what's your number 7?
My number 7, I had mentioned earlier, and this is probably my favorite theater experience of the year because I saw it in IMAX at the Franklin Center in the Dome.
Dunkirk. Oh man, I saw this on the biggest theater in the world.
I heard about that.
In Melbourne, Australia. Oh, what a great movie.
It's so, I honestly think this is the most well-made movie of the year. I'm going to say as far as...
Yeah, I put it up there with Blade Runner.
I would say easily. That in the sense of, and the best thing for me is the fact that I don't really like war movies. I normally don't get invested in them or like, they're just not my thing. This one, the first time I saw it, I was never bored at all.
Yeah.
It's just like nonstop action, but like, it's not a quiet movie, but it's not a lot of talking. It's a loud movie, but not a lot of talking.
Right. Not a lot of character, but that's the point.
And I think that it's so beautifully shot, and I love the whole timeline thing.
The three stages of land, and sea?
Yeah, and like the fact that it's like one of them's an hour, one of them's a day, and the other one's like 3 days or five, something like that.
Yeah, I think so,
and
five.
And like, I like definitely got emotional, and then I was worried that it wasn't going to hold up on second viewing for me, because I think it had a lot to do with like watching theater. I watched it with my mom when it was like her first time watching it. I cried twice.
Twice?
Yes.
What part?
the part when
the scene where they where the well, ships come.
Yes, is like, when you see Kenneth Branagh's face and then the music, I just like burst into tears. I'm like, I'm not from there. Why am I weeping? Like,
I know,
I'm from there. And then the end when he's reading the newspaper and it's the Churchill speech.
Oh yeah, I mean,
this and also one as might... it playing over top of Tom Hardy.
Yeah,
even though he's not a big part.
He should have turned, by the way. His plane.
Oh, I don't mind that.
He just landed.
I thought that because I think
gliding for quite a while.
It's gorgeous how it's shot. It didn't bother me. There's some movies that I can nitpick that one. Yeah. I don't.
The scene with the oil catches on fire is nuts. Or when the ship goes down, or when he accidentally kills the boy. There's so many great moments.
There's so many great moments in it, and I think that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was so surprised by that film, and I'm like,
it's unlike any other war movie ever made.
Yeah.
And you never see the enemy.
Yeah.
You never see them. You see a blurry German at the end, but yeah, that's it. This one's like interchangeable with me with number 10 for me with Blade Runner. It's a similar thing as Blade Runner. It's so well made. And when I saw it for a second time, I loved it. I know the point is that you don't have characters because like you wouldn't know anyone in war that well, but for some reason, it didn't vibe as well, but I still love it.
Yeah, and I think it kind of boiled down to the reason that it's higher up on mine than other films is I looked at specifically like my like 8 through 10 in my honorable mentions. What did I have films that I have problems with and which ones didn't I?
Yeah.
And it's like, even if they were like minuscule, like nitpicking things, I had no problems with this movie.
Number 5? 6.
My number 6 was that one that I talked about that originally wasn't in my top 10. And
what?
Crept up, The Florida Project.
I haven't seen it. That's the one I haven't seen.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen that one.
This movie has some of my favorite scenes of the entire year. I love it.
Okay, how good is it?
So much. It's so
good. How badly do I need to see this?
Pretty badly. My mom and I bought it on iTunes a couple days ago.
Yesterday. Damn.
Yes, because they just released it on iTunes. And until I think it's like February 5th,
what's it
portion
about?
Of the proceeds will go to...
Some people might not know.
So it's like a... It's
proceeds
about...
Will go.
Okay.
You're just going into all that? Like, what's it about?
What's it about? It's about this motel. There's like a series of motels outside of... In Orlando, Florida, outside of Disney World. And it's essentially like people that live in them. There's like... They call them, like, the hidden homeless, where it's, like, they're essentially homeless because they just, like, live in hotels and just pay week to week.
Oh, wow.
And it follows this young girl who she's, like, 6 years old, her and a bunch of her friends, and then her mom, who she's got to be, like, late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
And Willem Dafoe is the manager of the hotel.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay. And he is...
Didn't know what his role was.
He's so good. He was my personal favorite supporting actor performance of the year, even though it's...
It's close,
I would say
it's
a subtle, it's a subtle performance, but like when you think about all the other stuff that he's done and how different it is and how he's this very like kind and compassionate person, but also still kind of stern and like, it's a very real movie.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeously
It's
shot.
Raw, really.
It's so beautiful. There's so many colors and like the lighting, it takes place in Florida in the summer.
Right.
And like, it's just great. It's one of those films where it doesn't really have a plot.
Okay, you're just
it's
along
like a very,
for the ride.
Like, yeah, it's a very, like, I would compare it to, like, Italian neorealism, where it's just, like, it's just starting, and there's not really, like, a through line like I would say other films have, but it's...
So, almost like Manchester?
Kind of like Manchester.
Very different plot, but...
Very different plot. I would compare it more if Moonlight didn't have the three act.
Oh.
Like, if it was just the first act of Moonlight.
Okay.
It'd be like that.
Oh, wow. I gotta see that. That's number 5 or number 6.
Number 6, yeah.
Wow,
it's just a very moving film. The old like people, the ending is different for people because it's very
right.
It's one of those endings where it's you either love it or you hate it. Or I'm mixed on it. I love it in theory, but I don't. There's like a music thing about it that I don't like, which is weird.
Ooh.
I'm very picky about it, but
okay. Interesting.
It's just like a beautiful film. Yeah, there's so many scenes in it where I wish you'd seen it so we could talk about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see. I was wondering. I was like, that or I'll watch Call Me By Your Name. And I saw Call Me By Your Name. That's awesome. All right, so I think we're at my 5 now. My 5 was a punt from yours, which is Phantom Thread.
Nice.
I saw this a week and a half ago.
Yeah, this is like the last movie I saw in theaters.
You see all of the Ritz?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Oh my God.
So this and Dunkirk I think are the two most well made. I think it's just like as far as like as far as how, like, the production of, like, it's so well shot.
Don't get me wrong, it's incredibly well made. Yeah. I think there's more stuff going on in Dunkirk.
I know, yeah.
And Blade Runner with, like, yeah. IMAX and...
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of, like, direct.
In terms of, like, I remember, like, I got out of it and I was like, why is he so good?
He's so good. Daniel Day and PTA.
I love PTA.
He's becoming, like, one of my favorites.
He's one of my favorites. Because
I hadn't seen all of his stuff. I haven't seen everything.
I've seen, like, a few.
There's one or two that I haven't been big on, but I think about them here now and then. And this movie, like, there's that choice. We're going to get a spoiler. The choice to have her poisoning him was
more
such
than
a
once.
Risky
you think,
choice.
You'd think that would just be one thing that, like, and it's near the end. But it's, like, a little over halfway through. And
oh,
then it, like,
my God. And then it happens again and he's all right with it.
That line, even though it's, like, kind of slightly cheesy, I loved it, but...
What line?
When after she has her whole speech to him, and he goes, kiss me, my girl, before I'm sick again.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
God.
Oh, he's a freak.
Yeah,
but... easily my two favorite scenes in the movie are the dinner table scene, when they get into that fight.
Oh, yeah.
And when they have to get that dress from that woman that's, like, drunk at
her
party.
That's such a fun scene.
That's such a great scene.
I love that scene. What about the one where his... What was his sister's name? Sybil?
Yeah.
When she freaks at him, and you're like, oh my God. She could kick his ass.
They're all
She got
so
the Oscar great. Nom, too.
Yeah. They're all great. Oh,
they're such great characters.
And it's got a beautiful score.
I tweeted out, I don't think I'm intelligent enough to, like, to talk about it.
Right? Me too. Because
it's such a good... It's, like, too good.
Yeah, but I think the thing that I like so much about it is when you just watch that trailer, you're like, oh, this is period piece Oscar-based BS.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's just, like, if you've ever been, like, in a toxic relationship, you're, like, I was seeing this and I was just like, oh, man. I'm feel like, not in, like, specifics, but I was just like, yeah, like, I've been with men before like that where all we do is just, like, annoy each other. And it's just, like...
But there's a she, what's her character's name? I'm sorry.
Alma.
Oh my God. But she finds a way. Like, she goes against the regular. Cause you see that girl in the beginning who's like, get out. She leaves. And you're like, oh, here we go again. But no, Alma has a different.
Yeah. And another thing that I loved about it, and I definitely think it should win best costumes. Cause I'm somebody
It's about making.
Yeah. I love clothes so much. Like, it's something that I'm very passionate about. Like, I love looking at very nice dresses. Like,
sure.
And so, like, there were times during the movie where I almost wished I was watching it at home because I would, like, have to hold my mouth just to be like, like, there was one time where I was just like, oh, her gloves.
Right.
Or like, oh, the embroidery. Like, it's just like.
It gets you interested. I love watching movies about people doing their jobs well.
Yeah.
And this was a perfect one of that.
Daniel Lewis is.
He should win.
He's perfect. He's not my number one of the best actor nominees. We'll talk about that film.
Oh my God. I love that movie so much.
I'm in love with him. He's one of my weird Hollywood crushes.
He's instantly, you know, when he's in the movie, it's instantly going to be, you know, we're getting a great performance. But the direction, like the fact that PTA also shot it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the he doesn't need direction.
He also wrote it by himself. Like,
right. It's a very personal movie of his, and I instantly liked it.
Yeah.
So that was my five. And what am I doing now? My four?
My five.
Or we think you're five.
Yeah. My five.
You're five.
My number five. This is the movie I've seen the most out of everything on this list.
Oh.
And I watched it again for the third time recently, and I love it to pieces. It's...
What?
The Big Sick.
Ooh, okay. It's not on my list. When did you see it in theaters?
I saw it in theaters twice, and then I saw it a third time at home.
I think that's what is doing it for people who love it, because I was late. I saw it in November, and I was like, it's a little overhyped for me. I still really liked it a lot.
The first time I saw it was an early screening.
So you were before the...
Before the
hype
train.
This is the best movie. People were saying it was the best of the year, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think that there are a lot better made films this year, as far as like...
But it's
like
great.
The way that it looks... But no, like, it's a film that I think about scenes from it, not even necessarily in a deep way, almost every day. And it's a film that
it's
I think is so
well written.
It's
such a fun movie, too, and really honest.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's a film that, a romantic comedy that benefits being written by both a man and a woman. And the reason I say that is because of, like, certain, like, when he's showing her the movie in the beginning, and she's just like, oh, I love when men tell me what I should think about my taste. Or, like, when she, like she has to take a shit in his apartment, and she's like, I can't
do it. I'm not
going to
do it here.
Yeah, I'm like, that is
yeah
probably my favorite plot point in a movie ever, just because I'm just like, I'm watching. I'm like, nobody ever talked.
Well, what about when Holly Hunter freaks out at the comedy club?
Perfect.
Or when, I mean, just the whole premise when she's in the coma. I mean, and that's a unique premise for a movie, and the fact that
even though at the end of the day, if you know the backstory of it, you know that they're going to end up together. I like that they don't immediately, because that's realistic.
And also the added plot line of that the parents cheated.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
The first time I saw it, I like cried a couple times. The second time I saw it, I didn't cry at all. The third time, it's like, so now it's like my first time watching it where I'm like actually in a relationship and I like watched it with my boyfriend. And like there were two times in it where I just like got very emotional. And it was like when Kumail basically bombs that mic because he's like, and he's talking about Emily and I'm just like, oh man. But then when Holly Hunter gets into the bed with Ray Romano and she's like, do you mind? And they just like sleep together and you can tell they just like haven't legitimately
done that
slept in a while. And I was just like, that's just beautiful. That's nice.
It's a great rom-com, more drama, I think, than comedy.
I think some of the comedy in it is so good. I think it's so high up on my list because of rewatchability.
A lot of the stand-up scenes were not my favorite.
I liked those, but I've also just like...
It has one of the funniest scenes in the year when they're at the lunch table in the hospital.
Oh my God.
The
9/11 joke?
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. It's a phenomenal film, and it got a screenwriting nomination.
I was so happy about that.
All right, so now is it my four? My four is Logan.
So...
Didn't see it? You saw it? You didn't see it?
Didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Are you into X-Men?
No. Okay. So the thing that is one of the best trailers I've ever seen.
With the... What song?
With Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, right.
I was like, oh, I should see this, even though... But then I thought about... It was one of those things where, one, it was like out in March, and I was like, all right, I'm already never going to the movies ever around this time of year. And then, two, it was like, I haven't seen any of the X-Men movies, so even if this movie's great,
I don't know if it would work.
I don't think it'll emotionally affect me the way it does other people, or it'd be the kind of thing where I'd be like, oh, this is good. But I respect... Right. It's one of those things where I'm just like, it's on people's list, and I'm like, that's great.
I think it was such a rewarding movie... Because if you're an X-Men fan, a X-Men movie fan, this one felt like, okay, this is what I stuck around for. Yeah. If that makes sense. Because the other two Wolverine movies are not really great. The guy who directed this one did
the
most recent. Yeah, which was The Wolverine.
I've heard that it's significantly better than the first one.
Oh, significantly better. The ending flops.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's shocking how bad the ending is. But throughout, it's pretty interesting. And to the X-Men movies in general, have always followed Wolverine. I don't think they do that in the comics. I never read the comics. But he's been the character that audiences have latched on to. This is his, like, 8th or 9th appearance as the character.
Yeah, he's been doing it since, like, what, 99?
99. And, I mean, he's phenomenal. And this is easily his best performance. Hugh Jackman. I actually thought he should have been considered for a nomination.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart is heartbreaking in it.
Yeah.
If you know anything about Professor X.
Yeah.
He can control people's minds and do stuff with mind control, and he has he's getting seizures. So when he gets a seizure, everything around him freezes. And there's this even a little subtle hint that something happened in years past at the X-Men school where a few X-Men died, and you're like, what?
It's such that's a the whole deep, thing is like
it's rated R.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have happened without Deadpool.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm getting chills thinking about it. It's a phenomenal film. It's the best comic book movie since Dark Knight. I'm thrilled it got an adapted screenplay nomination. Yeah. And I thought Patrick Stewart should get nominated. But
it was a tough year for supporting actor.
I think you should give it. I mean, if you're ever going to watch the X-Men movies, wait to watch it then. But if you're not, like, totally check it out because it's an incredible Western. There's great performances, and it's an awesome action movie, and it's the best Wolverine you'll see. Some people might think it's a little too late because of the rated R, because he is a character you needed to really get a rated R to get the full sense of him. And then there's this little girl, Daphne Keene or whatever. I think that's her name.
Yeah, I think that's her name.
She is so good.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where like everybody talked about how great it is. I'm like, I'm sure it is. I know that it wouldn't emotionally affect me as much.
Makes sense.
Because I don't have any investment with the characters at all.
Oh, but I love Logan. And I saw that in March, and it's just carried on over since March. And oh my God, what a satisfying end for a beloved character and performance from an actor. Yeah. I cannot remember one so satisfying.
Yeah.
What's your number four?
My number four is a little bit of a punt from earlier for you, and that's I, Tonya.
Oh my God. Let's talk about this, because I love this movie.
So yeah, like I said, everything pretty much in my like top 10 is films that moved me a lot. This one doesn't at all in the second time it did.
You saw it twice.
So I saw it back in October.
Oh, wow.
At the Philadelphia Film Festival.
That's where one of my friends saw it.
And when I saw it, I was like, knowing that I probably wouldn't see it again until like end of December, beginning of January, I was like so mad. I wanted to see it the next day.
Right.
I was so surprised by it. I love the form so much. I think it's so entertaining. I think it's
sort of a mockumentary.
It's so good. I think that people like hate on the classic rock soundtrack, saying it's too on the nose. I think that's
a little on the nose.
The thing is, I think that they're doing that on purpose.
Okay.
For like ironic factor.
I think so. I think that's usually what that is used for.
Yeah.
But
it's also a sound. But then again, I say that having, I listen to the soundtrack maybe more than any other film soundtrack.
There's one specific song where I was like, come on. I'm forgetting. It might have been Barracuda.
Probably Barracuda.
Where I was like, come on, jeez. But oh my God, I, Tonya. I was only familiar with the story from things I've seen, documentaries.
I'm very familiar with it. ESPN. My mom and I are obsessed with figure skating.
Just stuff with the media. That's all I knew about the story. I never even considered her point of view because I thought it was just, oh, it was on the public.
Yeah, it's
she
interesting.
She did something wrong.
I don't know if this is for sure my mom's opinion, but like, I never got the sense of Tonya Harding was the one that's like the worst, like everybody else in America did. My mom was kind of just like, oh, that Nancy Kerrigan's a little prissy girl. And I was like,
oh, really?
Okay. Because I'm from bumfuck Maryland.
There's still some confusion as to like what happened.
Yeah. And that this film does not really give answers.
And very dark comedy. It gives some answers. I think
to an extent. I genuinely agree. Like she probably didn't know that this actual thing was going to happen, but
right.
She knew a bit.
And it's wrong that she would even agree to say, hey, send them death threats.
Yeah.
But and that is wrong. But it's still.
I like that
totally,
the film, like,
the fact that she got expelled. That
scene made me cry.
That broke my heart.
That scene made me cry the second time.
I teared up, yeah.
Same with when she does the triple axel the first time in the movie. The second time it made me cry because I knew where the film
ends up. Well, how great is Margot Robbie in it? She is amazing in it.
So good.
She, everything from the beginning, it's really funny.
That film's got a great cast.
Oh my God. Who plays the mom?
Allison Janney. She's one of my favorite actresses.
So there's that scene where she throws the knife.
When I saw that at the film festival, a guy like three rows in front of me just shouted out loud, oh, fuck!
Right.
And we all started crying laughing.
It's an oh, shit moment.
Yeah, and I think it's in one of the trailers, sadly.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, good.
That
because I didn't see
me.
That coming. Because again, when I saw it, the day I saw it was when the first teaser trailer came out. So I knew, I saw basically nothing.
It adds so much to her as a person in that, like, okay, she wasn't the most educated person, but you can also tell she was abused in different forms her whole life, from her mom to her first boyfriend.
Sebastian Stan is
great.
Phenomenal.
But, oh my God, to have, and you get it, like, okay, that was her first love. And she isn't that well educated.
That's all she knows.
And she thinks from what her parents did to her that this is how love is expressed.
Yeah.
And she didn't, how would she have known better to get away from him?
And a big criticism I see of this movie is that it kind of makes light of abuse. And I don't think it does. Because
I don't think it does either.
Especially because Tonya herself, that's the way she talks about it. She's like, if I took a shit today, I got hit. Like, that was just like, and I think if it's...
When she talks in the talking heads, you're referring to in the movie, right?
Especially near the end when she's just like...
It wasn't her fault.
She's just like referring to her abuse. Yeah, exactly. And I think that it shows in a way of sometimes, especially people from like those types of areas, like they kind of look at it kind of as just like, yeah, that happened. They don't necessarily play the victim with it, which is fine.
Right.
And like, that's,
she doesn't play the victim
expected.
With it.
She doesn't.
And maybe even if she did, it might have been better for her, but I don't think she should have.
Yeah.
The scene where she doesn't get the best score at one of the tryouts for the Olympics and she goes into the parking garage to the guy and he's like, you're representing our nation. Like, we're not going to risk that on you. It was so telling that
it's all about looks.
This is the sport, right? It's half of it's okay. You did well. You did the triple axel.
Yeah,
but and your personality didn't match up.
Yeah.
What?
One of my favorite facts about this movie is like the director was like, okay, Margot's gonna do as many of her stunts as she can. Then we're gonna have a body double.
Right.
And so when they went to like their figure skating like consultant for the film, they were like, okay, we just need somebody to do the triple axel. And she goes, there's only four women in the U.S. that have ever done it. And two of them right now are training for the Olympics, so they're not going to do it.
Right.
So that's that. Some that's, I guess, some people's other complaint is, like, the CGI
for the
triple axel. I didn't notice it, but that's also because I'm not that intelligent about that stuff.
Neither am I.
I was like, oh, it didn't bother me at all.
I mean, it is the fact that it makes you rethink the Tonya Harding scenario. It made me like her. That's such an accomplishment in the movie. Mm-hmm. And also just the scene where she calls out the audience. She said, like, you made me, you laughed at me.
It's about
feel bad for laughing earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
At some of the jokes.
Yeah.
And another thing that was also shocking is, so his her boyfriend's friend.
Sean.
Oh, in the movie, you're like, oh, he's such an over-the-top character. Then they show in the credits.
I'm so happy that they showed all
those. That's how he was. What? This guy was actually an idiot. The fact that, what was the scene when, he calls his friends. He's like, yeah, send her the death threats. And then they go in and see these two, like, buffoons.
Oh, my God.
And one of them was like, which one's Kerrigan? Like, he actually said that. And then he went out. Like, he didn't wait. He went out and did it.
I love this movie so much.
Oh, my God.
It's so...
It's funny. It's really, I mean, that's a horrible thing that happened to her, but, like, it's so funny.
Because you're just like, because that's what the scenario is, that you're like, this is just a bunch of idiots.
It's one of the most ridiculous real life events that happened.
And I love near the end, right before
the credits,
Jeff is about to go to prison. He's watching he's eating cereal and watching the TV, and it's the OJ coverage.
Right.
Because that's the next big thing that happens. And I think, then I was thinking, I was like, oh, this is a good companion piece with People vs. OJ.
Oh, it is. I love this movie so much. It's such a great film.
It's so great.
It's one of the best sports films I've ever seen. Even, I'd say, like, a biopic about an athlete.
Because I think it's, like, slightly unconventional one.
Before her last skating performance, when she's getting ready, and she's looking in the mirror, and she's, like,
when I saw that the first time, I was like, can they make this her, like, Oscar take? Like, you know when they show the clip before?
Yeah.
I know it's going to be something with her with dialogue, because it always is.
It's got to be that scene.
But that's... I was like,
so much in her face in that scene.
And that's also, like, very relatable for women, I feel like. Not that I've ever been in that situation specifically, but there's something about, like, attempting to get yourself together in a mirror and, like, it's just not working.
Totally.
And, like, you're just, like, trying to put on a happy face through tears, and you're just like, and, like, she even, like, she's putting on, like, blah. And I like, she's how it doesn't so cut at all. She's so good.
The scene where Alice and Janney, when the story breaks, she goes into her apartment and she's like, okay, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to apologize for treating you like that when you were younger. And then she had a recorder. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This movie's so good.
It's so good.
And not enough people. It didn't get enough praise. It should have been nominated.
Yeah, it should have been a Best Picture nominee. Fucking Darkest Hour. Get out of here.
Fuck Darkest Hour. All right, so...
Then you're number three?
Number three. Oh, well, yeah, that was my number... Because
that was a punt.
That was a punt.
From you. That was my four.
Was it a punt from me?
That was my four.
That was your four, and that was, I think that was my seven. I could be wrong.
It was something that, it wasn't like a big jump, but I was.
I should have this up. Sorry.
It's okay.
About the time. All right, here it is. It's my number six. So now you said that was your four.
That was my four.
Okay, so now it's my three.
Mm-hmm.
My three is Get Out.
Okay, it's a punt.
Oh!
Oh, no, we punted from earlier. That was my nine.
That was your nine.
Yeah, which I know sounds low.
Oh, did you say that earlier?
Yeah. Yeah, I said, I was like, this is higher for you. I already know.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
I already know. And, like...
What are your thoughts on it?
I just watched it Tuesday.
I saw this in theaters in February last year with, I don't know if you know who Shifa Hasan is.
Mm-mm.
Saw it with her. And, oh my God, like, it was weird because you're in the hype for Oscars and you're like, okay, all the best movies...
have already come out.
And then the fact that this... I was comparing this to Moonlight and La La Land after I saw it because, oh my God, there's nothing else like it in the world. And I mean, I'm probably not the best person to talk about it, but...
Right, we're a bunch of two white college kids.
Yeah, talking about Get Out. But I mean, just the fact that, okay, this is Jordan Peele's first movie. It's a horror movie that doesn't succumb to the terrible horror tropes. That's horror is not my favorite genre because it can get really lazy.
I love horror a lot, but I think that there's a lot more bad than good.
This takes that horror genre and puts it in like a really unique scenario. Doesn't make it corny, makes it really original. Everything about it's really funny. There's all these underlying messages. The fact that the end where, I don't know if you remember, but what's Brian Williams' daughter's name? Oh my God.
Her character's Rose.
Rose, yeah. She
Are you talking about the keys? Or are you talking about when she gets shot?
The keys is crazy. No, the but keys the, she's here, eating. I literally she's on clapping. Her laptop looking at NBA players.
Yeah.
And she's eating Fruit Loops, and she separated the colored Fruit Loops from the white milk. Oh my God. Just stuff like that. It's so good.
I think the best scene in the movie for me was the hypnosis scene.
When the upside down. Not upside down. Not upside down. Sunken place. Stranger Things.
Yeah. I didn't even want to blink during that scene. And like
visually
that's,
stunning
that
and
scene
terrifying.
Alone is where you're like, I get why Daniel Kaluuya got a Best Actor nomination. That alone. Is there a better crier in a film ever? I don't know.
Everything with the ending and the reveal, I will just never forget being in the theater and the very ending where she gets shot and he's on top of her. He's about to choke her out and then he stops because he's like, he's a better person than that. And then you hear
the cop car
and you see the blue and red lights and you're like, oh, everyone in the theater, no matter what your race was, whatever, was thinking, oh, this guy's screwed.
Yeah.
Like everyone was on the same page, and which was a powerful thing to feel. And it was like, oh my God, this is devastating. Like he just made it out of all that. He got out and now he's about to go to jail. And that moment will always stick with me because everyone was sighing collectively like, oh no. And then when the door opens
and you see it says
airport security, the biggest cheer I had like maybe witnessed in a movie, everyone went nuts and it was hilarious. And also really like, you were really happy and it was moving. And then he gets in the car. He's like, I told you to go in the house. Yeah. And drive away. This movie is phenomenal. I loved it.
I think the main reason that it's lower on my list has to do honestly with the fact that I waited so long to watch it, in the sense that I knew so much of it.
You did? Yeah.
I wasn't shocked as much. I think the film really picks up once they get to the house.
Okay.
That's when because I remember like before it's like really kicked in, I was kind of just like, I was like, I don't think this is going to be in my top 10.
You have Redbone playing and you're like, this is a year old. But when I saw it, it would just come out.
Yeah. But then as soon as they get to the house and just like that whole, the world building of that also. And like, I think that there's so many great scenes in that. And I think the scenes of tension work better for me than the comedy, even though I like the comedic scenes a lot.
Yeah.
Like when they cut back to,
Lil Rel?
Yeah, when they cut back to him and he's like trying to figure out where he is and stuff.
The cop scene.
As much as that scene's hilarious, I wish they almost had put it somewhere else in the film because I was so invested in where Chris was. He was like in the basement thing and you just watched that video.
Right.
And I was just like it was so tense. I was like, what happens next? And then it cut and I was like,
to get out.
And I was just like,
what?
Yeah. But it's phenomenal. And I especially, after I watched it, I told my mom to watch it because she doesn't really know any of the spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very intrigued.
Did she like it?
She hasn't watched it yet.
Oh, okay.
Because she's just going to, I told her just to buy it and then she's going to use the digital download code thing.
What's your number three?
My number three, I don't think it's on your list.
Mm.
And that's Call Me By Your Name.
Okay. We're going to have an interesting conversation. Look, I love this movie. I think other films kind of moved me.
More.
I wish I had more time to think about it because I just saw it last night. Literally last night.
Okay.
Less than 24 hours. What's really fascinating about that movie is it's not structured like a typical movie.
Yeah.
There's no plot points. It's just like a lot of rising action and then climax that ends. For me, I was, okay, like,
Was it overhyped for you?
It wasn't overhyped for me. I think it might have been overhyped in the sense of like, oh, this is the most well-written movie of the year. I think as a film, it's breathtaking. It's great. It's really well shot. I think it's brilliantly acted. Until the end, I'm going to just say up until the scene when
Michael Stuhlbarg,
yeah, which is the scene. Like that actually made the movie for me.
It does.
But up until then, I was watching it. I was there and I was like, this is a beautiful relationship. I'm not as connected with it for me. It was like, okay, it's just not for me, I guess. But when he has his speech, it makes everything before that so much more meaningful. And that's where I was like, okay, this is something special.
Yeah, this is my mom's favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
And she, like, her and I saw it together, and I had been wanting to see this since it premiered at Sundance when everybody was saying how good it was.
Right.
And I'm a massive fan of Sufjan Stevens, who did like a bunch of the original songs in it.
Oh and my God. The scenes where he plays the piano, he's playing.
He's Timothée Chalamet is my best actor.
Like there was one take where he played in three different ways and they didn't cut.
Yeah.
And they showed his hands. Like Ryan Gosling's got nothing on him.
Right. No other film made me more like cry harder this year than this one. And especially that, it was like that scene all the way up until the end. And well, even then before that, when they finally become romantic with each other before they go on their little trip, when like there's like a line that one of them says where they're just like, we wasted so many days.
Oh yeah. And he was saying like, oh, I was just, and, I like, gave I you hints.
And like, I like romantic movies when done right, wreck me.
Oh, totally.
Because like, I've been in a lot of long-term relationships and like I'm in one right now and like it's the kind of thing that just brings out a lot of feelings out of me and stuff, and so like
that resonated with you.
Yeah, a lot. And like he's gonna listen to this and I don't care, but like my boyfriend saw it like 2 days before I did, and like he texted me, he was just like, oh fuck, and then he's like, oh, and I love you, and like because he's just like, he's like, I could not think about you the whole time because like it's just like he, and then there's a line that Michael Stuhlbarg says where he's in the speech when he's like, you'll never know how special what you two had was.
Yeah. That's the scene.
I literally burst into tears because I was just like.
Right.
Yeah.
That scene is the movie. And I think that's why I needed more time to think about it. Because right now I just don't know.
Yeah, that's understandable. Fully.
This conversation made me want to like even put it higher.
Yeah.
Because it's like 12 or 11 right now for me. And it should be higher now I'm thinking about
it. And I also love.
I just need more time.
The dance scene. With Love My Way, which I love that song to pieces. And, like, I like the way that he's just kind of, like, looking at him and you're like, you know he likes.
Well, how about those credits? Where he is on screen. Just, and it's
my
one
mom
take.
My mom and I cried most of the car ride
and
home.
And the fly, which I don't know if that was intentional or not.
There's flies a lot throughout the movie. That's, like, a big thing.
Right. Which is a fleeting life of a fly, fleeting relationship.
Ooh.
Who knows?
Symbolism. I love that movie.
Oh my God. Pieces. And do you think Chalamet? Oh, okay. So you've seen that and Phantom Thread. Do you think it was Daniel Day or Chalamet?
Chalamet for me personally, but that's
he might be.
I think just because of like it's such a natural performance, and you feel like he completely becomes that character. I think
he does
in a way that like
everyone was there. Yeah,
and just I don't know, like it.
I kind of
there's certain parts where I would watch the emotions come out. I think the thing that actually the part in the movie where I started to like get like to emotional to weeping and was like that throughout the rest of it was when he called his mom. And he's like, "Mom, can you come pick me up?" I'm like, "I've been there."
See, what I was a little confused about though. That scene's amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love that scene.
And I think like
but when he said, "Does mom know?" I was like,
"See, I don't think he's referring to that." So there's been some things about that. So when the dad says, I've come close, but not quite. Some people have read that into the dad has had a homosexual relationship.
Oh. Oh, that totally changes.
And then when
that
he says,
me.
Does mom know? So that's what I think. I've heard mixed things on what people think that means.
Oh, I don't know.
Because I don't, because this is based on a book, and I don't know if the book might go into that more.
Like some immediate, I mean, this is still a fresh take for me. Like some immediate things I kind of wish there was some more character background for Armie Hammer's guy and just everyone in general. I know you didn't need it, but I personally just would have wanted a little bit more just to understand like why he's there in Paris for the summer with the dad.
It's not Paris, it's Italy.
Or it's Italy, sorry. I don't know why I just said Paris.
They do speak French in it at some points.
Right. That's why that was a little bit for me. But, I mean, it's a beautiful movie, and it's incredibly well done.
Yeah, and I love it that...
Was that your three or two?
That was my three, and I love the other thing about it is the fact that, like, even though people are like, oh, it's a gay love story, I would... Like, both of them are bisexual, I think.
Yeah, and this is not...
And I think that's good, because I feel like more often than not, we get films where, like, somebody has a gay experience, and then they're like, I'm gay now.
Right.
And it's like, which is, yeah, that can happen, but I feel like Chalamet's character, constantly Elio... Evolving. Yeah, I feel like... This, like, the sexual relationship that he has with that girl is, like, it's, you know, just sex. But, like, it's still, like, he's clearly attracted to women also.
Oh, sure.
And so, like, and same with, like, Oliver. So, I like that aspect of it.
This is something in the beginning I was thinking about. Overall, I didn't have a problem with it, but it was in my
head.
The
age difference?
Yes.
Doesn't bother me.
At first, it was bothering me. And in real life, he's 22?
He's our age.
A
friend of ours went to high school with him and knew him well. Ruby Wardis, do you know?
Really?
Yeah, she went to high school with Timmy, she calls him.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. But, and I don't know how old Armie Hammer is.
He's a little bit older than when he's playing.
He looks very young.
He looks very young, and Armie Hammer does not look 24.
Yeah, he looks older. And that was one thing I was like...
The thing is, though, is I think part of me... Even though I think Armie Hammer is brilliant in the film, and I think that he fits the character perfectly, I wish his character, they would have casted somebody younger. I think Chalamet is perfect for that part.
Yeah.
Because you believe that he's 17.
Right. And...
The age of consent in Italy is 14.
Totally. And that's not the problem. I didn't have an issue
with
that.
And also, I think the fact that the younger man's pursuing the older one, essentially.
That's what it did for me, because there were some scenes where I was just, okay, what if I substituted this with a younger woman? Okay, I would actually be fine with it. Mm. I was just kind of like looking into... Reflecting on yourself. And I was like, okay, yeah. then this should be okay. Or other way around, if it was an older woman and a younger man, I was like, okay, yeah. So this isn't an issue. It did take a while.
Mm, yeah.
Because at first I was like, okay, this is a little awkward, but I did.
Yeah.
And it's what you just said. It's because he was pursuing him. And also just the love was so real.
There's like a part where they just delicately touch fingers at one point. And right. I'm just like...
It's a great movie.
I wish I would have seen it. I want to see it another time. I've only seen that one once, and I wonder if it would change its placement at all for me.
Right, I got to see it again.
I think we have the same one and two, but they might be switched.
Okay.
I genuinely think we have the same one and two.
You do?
I genuinely do.
Oh. Or
they might be switched, though.
I wonder.
I will say this, though, before...
Okay.
My one and two have switched... several times. So that, like, they're almost daily, but I think the last few days it's been consistent with what one is and what two is because of which one I'm the most passionate about.
Right.
And it just, yeah.
But my one and two switched once, and then I switched them back.
I honestly think, though, I feel bad putting two at two. Like, I almost want it to be, like, one and one and a half.
I feel bad putting two at two.
Okay.
For me, my one has been solid.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no! And I was switching two and three, but now it's like my one solid.
I've seen
again.
Both of these twice, and like, yeah, it comes back and forth. And then there's
both of these once.
Oh, yeah. See, these I've seen twice, and it's literally, it'll be like a day thing.
Okay, I'm just going to say my.
Say your number two.
Number two is Lady Bird.
My number one. Oh! Then we have this, your number one.
Okay,
is my number two.
We'll see. Lady Bird, you can start.
No, you start because
I talked about this all last
two.
Week on the podcast with Brianna because it's Brianna's favorite movie of the year.
Yep.
And all I'll say is. I think when the movie, it was weird because this has never happened to me. When the movie ended is when I got emotional.
Oh.
While I was watching it, and I was like, I was witnessing it all and connecting with it. And then when it ended is when it hit me and it hit me really hard. And you can ask Brianna, it was incredibly embarrassing. I was like a mess.
I saw it twice. The first time I was at the film festival. Brianna was there but we weren't together. Like we ran into each other before him, but we didn't sit together.
It's such a well-written movie.
So well written. The second time I saw it with my boyfriend, and during the airport scene, when
when she drives away. That didn't hit me as hard as I thought it would.
Oh, it hit me a lot, but then it's funny. I like was definitely emotional the second time, and then suddenly next to me, I hear just him sobbing into his hands.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those things where it's not like I saw him cry. I like heard
you
him.
Heard
and I was
it,
like,
yeah, and you're
I was
just like,
oh,
you're
honey.
Like, keep it together. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I was like, it broke him.
This movie, Greta Gerwig. Yeah. Directorial debut, right?
Yeah, solo direct. She did like a co-directing on like a really small film before, but.
So happy she didn't star in it.
Me
because
too.
Because I think it would have been too.
I like the fact, and like some people were like, oh, she'll probably have a cameo in it. Like, I like the fact that she's in
such
the film as far as a presence.
Movie. Oh yeah,
but she's not
semi-autobiographical.
But like she said, it's nothing. It's like experiences in the sense of like she grew up in Sacramento. Her mom's a nurse. Like
one of the
she
best coming of age movies, maybe.
Yes.
Everything about the Catholic school. I think the biggest thing for this is it's so relatable in a thousand different ways.
Yes.
Like you could connect with anyone.
Yeah.
In this movie,
when I saw it,
probably some people more than others.
Yeah.
But anyone.
Yeah. When I saw it. I like it a lot more the second time because I was the first time I went in with like knowing like the reviews from Telluride in Toronto where people were like, this film's so brilliant, blah, blah, blah. And like more than halfway through, I was like, oh, I really like this, but I don't get it.
Oh.
Not that I don't get it.
Oh, halfway through.
And then it wasn't till like it took the turn when the mom finds out that she was applying to New York schools in the first place. But it was also then like I like got the what the point of the film was
right
by the end of it. And it was also the kind of film where so many times during it, they would say lines that were like verbatim from like my, because my mom and I are super close, but we weren't always that. And like the amount of the, and I wrote like a review on this film, but like,
oh, cool.
When it ended, I couldn't stand up.
Oh, I couldn't either.
I was like,
the scene where she is talking about, they have this montage of her in NYU or whatever, wherever she went, and she's at parties, whatever. But then it's when the mom, I think, reads all the letters that the dad, I think, took out and opened them all and showed it to her. And when she, when she talks about her driving around her home, and she's like, oh, these are all these places I've been driven around my whole life, and then I actually got to drive around them and I knew them already. It was like, holy shit.
Keeps cutting back and forth to the two of them, like doing the same thing.
It is a beautiful, that might be the best scene of the year.
That, there's so many parts in it that like, I like, it's hard for me to think about, and I just start like getting very, especially like, there's a line that the dad says where he's like, you both have such strong personalities, because that's me and my mom. Like, we're so alike, but we can fight so easily. And like, even down to like, I was one of those people where all of high school, I just wanted to get out. Like, I didn't think like about anybody else. I just care about myself. I just wanted to like go to a different school and be like this somebody. And then the second I got to school, like my entire first year of college was miserable. I was so homesick. I was so depressed.
You missed the relationships you had with people in high school. And she had that too.
Yeah, and it was
her first year. But you know that you'll bounce back.
Yeah, and it's just like, and I also like had like a bad alcohol poisoning thing, and that was kind of amusing.
And she had that too. Oh my, okay, that's, sorry to get off track, but what did you think of, sorry, you continue. I didn't mean
to interrupt. No, you're fine. What are you gonna ask?
So what did you think of when she looked at that boy with the eye bandage? You remember that?
No.
She woke up from alcohol poisoning, and it was weird because her parents weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked over, and there was like a
boy with an eye bandage with his mother. Was he with his mother?
Or... Yeah, they're Middle Eastern, I think.
I think there was just nothing to that. I think it was just like a that's what else is here. Like,
I guess
people with like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought there was,
out of it, I like had to walk around City Hall for like an hour and just like cried, and like I texted my mom and told her I loved her, and I was like, you need to see this as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. So I really want to see this again, like with my mom, like when we're home, because she saw it by herself. And as soon as she texted me, like we had a phone call afterwards where she was just like, she's like, yeah, I saw you and I a little bit, but I mostly saw me and Baba, who's my grandmother. And like, it hit me how much my mom is like Lady Bird, in the sense of like, what? Like my mom went to Catholic school.
Right.
And like, not that she was like poor, but like, it's she so definitely relatable. Was one of those people that like, she even said, she's like, oh, like I never told people where I lived because it was, you know, I lived in one of the shittier parts of town compared to like the people that I went to school with. And like, my grandma's one of those where it's just like, your clothes are on the floor. You're going to treat your clothes like trash like this, or
right.
like makes the bed in the hotel, or like.
What about the scenes where they go out just looking at other houses?
I loved that.
Oh my God. There's so much beautiful moments.
There's so many beautiful moments. And I like
it's the so fact funny
that
too.
It's so funny.
The prom. The
and
best
I like
friend that she leaves, and then they have the argument
and
outside.
And like some people are like, oh, that's so cliche. But I'm like, that's a, because I realize I'm like,
cliche because that's a thing.
I'm like, I don't think she's ditching her because she wants to hang out with the popular girl. She's ditching her because she's dating the popular boy. And by definition, she's then being friends with that girl, Jenna. In that sense,
which was Chalamet.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, you know, so it like I've definitely done that where I've ditched my friends to hang out with.
And you realize, like, they're the ones that are going to be always there, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But not a temporary thing. Or the scene where she loses her virginity, and then, like, the mom picks her up. Oh, my God.
And she just breaks down in the car. And, like, she doesn't have to tell her.
Right. She doesn't even have to.
It doesn't matter.
The scene where she... one of my favorite scenes in the movie, other than the ending, is when the gym coach takes over.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, we're going to go here. You're going to go here. For the theater.
So funny. So fucking
so
funny.
So funny. It's such a well-written movie.
It's...
Oh, my God. It's so
well-made.
It just
boils down to, like, why it's my favorite is because it's the film that I'm most passionate about and that I think about so much. And, like, I can watch this... I can just see myself rewatching this so much. And, like...
Oh, yeah. It's going to be on repeat forever.
I just love it so much. I'm trying to think there's... I liked it more the second time in the sense that then I knew what I was getting, like, what was going to come of like all the emotional stuff. So I could just sit back and enjoy the, like the comedic stuff.
Right.
There were some parts where like the more serious moments where it felt so real to like my experiences that I was just like, huh. Like when the mom's just like, nothing's ever good enough. And like, cause I've had those fights where like with my parents and like, yeah, but oh, it's beautiful.
It's so relatable.
Brilliant.
It's, oh my God. And you see all, it's a really cool coming of age movie in that, it doesn't even have to rely on like high school cliques or cliches.
Yeah, and
they're
like,
there.
They're there, but not in like, it's not the main point.
Yeah, the college
and
thing's
I think
in the background
that,
the whole time.
And one of those, the things that like, I love watching interviews with Greta and her talking about it. And like one of the things that she said a lot, she's like, about how the importance of it also being about the mom is like one person's coming of age is another person's letting go.
Oh.
Is what like she keeps saying. And I'm just like, God,
oh,
like,
I love that.
I love
it's
it
also
so
like
much.
A movie about getting older.
Yeah.
Similar to Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of growing up, it's also about getting older.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's an incredible film. And I was flipping that with my one, which was Shape of Water.
It's my number two.
Yeah. Oh my
it's
God.
So close. There are days when it's my number one.
Right.
I'm probably about to start crying just thinking about Shape of
when
Water.
When did you see
right
it?
Now. I've seen it twice.
When? Did you see it? Because I saw it.
You saw it before I did.
I
know
saw
that.
It in New York when it was only in New York and LA.
I saw
on
it.
On like a whim. It just happened. I was
I saw
available.
It before
I went.
Christmas. I think before winter break. I think.
Right. I mean.
And then I saw it again by myself. Because the first time I saw it with my boyfriend, the second time I saw it by myself. My favorite soundtrack of the year. If it's like
yep.
score and songs combined.
Completely
I love
agree.
The fact that it's. I feel like it's so many movies in one. In the sense of like,
completely, yes, that's what I love about
it's
it. It's not
romance,
just a romance.
It's
not
very
just a romance,
whimsical,
though.
But it's a thriller, but it's sci-fi,
it's
Cold War.
Cold War drama at one point.
But I think like the whimsical.
It's a heist movie at
yeah.
one point.
And I also, we could probably get into this also with it, but I love the fact that it doesn't hold anything back in the sense of like.
It goes for it.
It's a very whimsical movie, but it's also very dark and it's got a lot of language
yeah.
and it's got a lot of sex
Michael
and nudity.
Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
When he's with his, oh my God,
fucking
one of the
great.
Most hated or hateful villains, and he's great in it.
He's so great. Yeah, that scene with him and his wife.
Oh, and then you.
And then
you're
the scene
like, oh,
later
she's,
with.
She's mute.
Yeah.
How great is she? Is, what's her
I
name?
I love Sally Hawkins.
Sally, or, yeah, that's her name, Sally she's, Hawkins. It's basically a silent film performance for her.
I love her so much in this film.
She's
I,
convey a relationship with a merman without speaking.
I like weirdly, the film that I compare this movie the most to, and I think it's more so with her elements, is Amelie, the French
film. Oh,
yes,
film. Yes.
And that's the first, I think that's the lead character in that is I think the number one character that I relate to more than any movie ever,
okay.
which sounds like cliche because it's a very like.
I've only seen it once.
But like just this, even though I come across, I think sometimes as a very like outgoing person, I'm really like a. More like shy. I
yeah.
like to keep to myself. I love being alone.
I can identify with that.
And like the things that I love about like Eliza in Shape of Water is like especially like I like burst into tears in the beginning when she like does the little tap dance in the hallway.
Right.
Because I'm just like,
and
like yeah,
it's such
I do
a
that
delicate
sometimes.
Movie.
It's so delicate.
You know,
like,
it's very. You can tell that Guillermo del Toro.
I love him so much.
Oh, I love him too. It's very similar to Lady Bird in terms of. There's definite inspiration that you can probably, if you like really look into it, cite with the filmmaker, which is so
yeah.
cool. I love that. And just the characters are so great and just really unique a lot. And you don't see them a lot.
It's
movies.
A lot of, it's a film about where
Outcasts.
Like, about, yeah.
Her relationship with her roommate,
Richard Jenkins. He's so
my
good.
Favorite performance in the movie, probably.
Really? I love him
oh,
in
the
that.
Scene where he goes to that.
To
that to
the diner?
Cafe or yeah diner
oh.
and the guy first freaks out at the black people coming in
and then he's just like
and then at him
yeah
oh.
and then
tears
I love
your heart out
it breaks my heart when he comes back and he's just like you're all I have I'll do whatever you need me to do I'll do and I'm just like
oh yeah I know their relationship is
their relationship
so,
is
and
so
one
beautiful
you don't see that relationship in movies
yeah.
also Octavia Spencer the friend at work
yeah.
we all have a friend at work
she's
like that
she's so great and like a thing that she says a lot about how much she loves about the movie is the fact that, like, you know, the lead character can't speak. And so essentially all of her dialogue is being said by a black woman and a gay man.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. And so it's just like,
it's, oh my God. And then to the scene that, and this is almost a make or break scene for people, which I'm
shocked.
The musical? Yeah.
The first time I saw that.
That is my definitive favorite scene of the year.
The first time I saw that, I
oh, I cried.
Sobbed. One, because it's I thought it was beautiful. And two, because again, like I said, like, and this is the this is the closest I think I've ever gotten to where what La La Land made me feel.
Right.
In the sense of like, I love musicals so much. I grew up on them. And so when a film can just be that like magical and mystical and beautiful, it just
surprising.
Like.
Surprising.
Yeah.
You didn't see that coming.
And I love the fact that the musical scene is not too long. Not in the sense
it's
like.
Brief.
I like the way that it slowly goes back into reality of like, it slowly goes back to her talking to then her like not being able to like it.
Yeah. And also like she wishes more than ever that she could speak. But then at the end you realize like she didn't have to.
She didn't have to.
Because he can't.
And like my favorite, it has my favorite so score. Good. I hope it wins best score.
Desplat, right?
Yes.
And the, you'll never know in the credits.
Oh, so good. My mom saw this the other night, and now we just send each other egg emojis.
Oh, the egg. Everything with, and Michael Stuhlbarg also in this
Michael
movie.
Michael Stuhlbarg, MVP.
What, the scene where he has to go to the, where he first is with
his,
the Russians.
Also, his death scene is gruesome.
Really gruesome.
Like, that's and, hard to watch.
And you, but you believe, like, you
I wish, just, even, so I love Richard Jenkins into pieces. I wish Michael Shannon would have also gotten a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Yeah, I think he deserved it.
I think
more.
He deserved it, yeah.
He's the reason the movie kind of works.
Yeah, I feel like that villain, like, because you can immediately be like, oh, he's just bad and that's it. But it's a little more complicated than that, especially when you have to do the time period. The other thing that I love about this film, and even though it's not brought up in it much, is that it takes place in Baltimore. And I'm from there.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm from north of Baltimore. I'm from Harford County.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's just like.
That was a cool detail.
Yeah. And like, there's certain little things where I was just like, this, there's, for some reason, like, there's like this, Baltimore has this big nostalgia, I feel like, for 50s and 60s. Or at least I've noticed with, like, my family and stuff like that. And so, like, it
and
felt
outcasts.
Like that.
And musicals about outcasts.
Yeah. So, like, it felt like that to me. And so I was just like, this is...
Oh, my God. And beautifully shot. The opening scene of everything underwater. It feel the whole movie feels like it's kind of underwater.
It's amazing how good that movie looks for how little much it was
right.
made for. Wasn't it, like, not even $20 million?
It was, yeah, it was basically an indie.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't, but it was basically an indie.
Like, it looks like it was made for a lot more. And, like... I also love, my favorite scene in it is when Eliza's talking to Giles and like she has, it's like basically like a long monologue verb and she's like, I need you to repeat everything that I'm signing to you. And she's just like, what am I? I can't, you know, my mouth moves when no sound comes out, just like him. People look at me as different, just like him. And then like she said the lines in the movie that make me bawl my eyes out where it's like, mm-hmm. when he looks at me, he doesn't know that what I lack or that I'm incomplete. He sees me for what I am, as I am. He's
I'm
happy
not even
to see
say
me
this
every time,
I'm like,
every day.
It's so
this
good.
This movie's perfect.
It
this
is
movie
perfect.
Is perfect.
And it will win. It will, I mean, I want it or our Lady Bird to win, but it will
I
win.
Know. I want those. Those are my
I
best picture winners.
Can't believe there's
winners.
Some people who don't like it.
Okay, yeah. I don't get how... Now, maybe this is just me, but people that are just like, oh, that Shape of Water movie is just too weird for me. Maybe I'm a weirdo, but I don't find... I've seen way weirder movies.
I mean,
I think it's also being like a...
I get it.
I kind of get it, but I'm also just like... I think my favorite Disney movie is Beauty and the Beast. Like, I'm very much like, that whole thing doesn't... Like, I'm like, what's so weird about...
Right. And definitely inspired by things like that. And yeah, I... Maybe it's because it's live action...
Maybe.
I don't know.
But I love it to
beautiful.
Be. I want to be Eliza for Halloween. just like just have, the little scars on the neck and like.
They're gills.
The ending makes me bawl my eyes out, especially the poem.
Oh, yeah. The poem.
That's when my mom said that's when she started crying.
And Michael Shannon isn't like the cliche, I have a gun pointed at you and then something happens. Like he pulls the trigger.
Yeah, he shoots her. I think that's like very
he
powerful.
Both.
Yeah. And I like when he gets, when the amphibian man, as we will call
Merman,
him, when
sure.
he gets up and he's like, and like Michael Shannon's just like, you are a god. And I like the fact that he slits his throat. Like my mom's like, oh, I expected him to bite his face off. Like, no, he.
He just ended it. Well, those are, that's our top 10 list.
That's our top 10s.
Oh my God, Casey Lee Clark.
We have similar tastes.
We do. And also slightly different, which is the best.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, did we want to do our honorable mentions?
Very briefly, because I do need to go soon for a rehearsal very, very quickly. Let me see. I mean, there's so many. I'm just going to read them off. I can't really go into detail in a lot of them.
Yeah, same. How many do you want us to go through?
You start listing yours.
The only one that I'm going to say a brief thing on is the one that I wish was in my top 10, and I loved to pieces, and that's Baby Driver.
Mm.
The other ones are Three Billboards.
Same.
Columbus. Have you seen that?
I rented it. I haven't seen it yet. So good. Ghost Story.
That's in my honorable mentions.
You saw it?
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Dunkirk for me. Call Me By Your Name for me. It. Fucking loved it.
Didn't see it.
I love Thor Ragnarok. Did you see, there's a movie called Brad Status that I really
I heard
enjoyed.
That was really good. Yeah.
Wind River.
I haven't seen that.
Personal Shopper, Kristen
Stewart. I still
Stewart.
Need to see Personal
I
Shopper.
I thought you would have seen
it. I got the freaking Netflix Lady Gaga documentary, Gaga 5'2", in my honorable mentions because
oh, nice.
I cried a lot.
Girls Trip, Wonder Woman, Big Sick, Guardians.
I have The Post in my honorable mentions.
The Post, yep. The Post.
And a film that nobody saw and nobody talks about that I think has one of the best performances of the year is Richard Linklater's Last Flag Flying.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Steve Carell in that movie.
Brace your heart.
It's my favorite dramatic performance of his, and that's coming from a Little Miss Sunshine fan. I think it's a combination of that performance and Michael Scott.
Nice.
And he's just so sweet in it. Yeah.